tell me if I if you give me permission to record you for broadcast and for the internet.
My name is Lexa Mashinsky, and I do give you permission for a broadcast and internet purposes.
So what has been your personal experience with Asians for Black Lives Matter?
I think because I am of the younger population and I do see it throughout social media, I personally think I have quite a big understanding of what the Black Lives Matter, just the entirety of the movement is. And from my understanding is sometimes because of the fact that we are really not outspoken about how we deal with injustices within the Asian Pacific Islander community, I don't think that we're really doing a lot. I just don't see it coming from someone who is Asian Pacific Islander, but coming from someone who is very young, who is a very young American, I see that I have a lot of power to just retweet and send things out. But that's all I see, and that's all I do.
What could APIs do better?
I think raising awareness on them, because we as a community have gone through injustices. Many of them never intersect with the black community, because sometimes there are just things that we have never had to overcome. But at the same time, we do have the empathy. And so I think that we just have to find the capacity to be aware of it, and we have to find ways to share it with each other. I do think that just being there as a support is something that we can definitely do, and I don't see enough of it.
Have you had any conversations with older members of your family about this?
I have. My father, he is a white American. I have had conversations with him, and he definitely just doesn't care about it as much. My stepmother, however, she is Filipino. She's full Filipino. She looks at it and says that it feels threatening for her, because she believes that because of African Americans are a minority that has injustices faced towards them, that it also affects her as a minority too. But people who have lived in the United States, who are also like people who I know, my stepmother, for example, she definitely feels like she feels it at a more personal level than my father, who is white, and he just doesn't see it as much.
How do African American and Asian American groups at your school, how do they get along?
With the only time I've seen us just coexist, because we do coexist, yes, the only time I've seen us like actually interact with each other is at my school. We have a thing called the culturally specific clubs. We get together during one lunchtime, and there I see people from Black Student Union, from GSA, and from the other culturally specific clubs meet with APISU. And the interactions we have with each other are fairly minimal. But when you have those culturally specific clubs put together, you see that the people who want to actually make a difference in their community and who are openly trying to do it. And I think that it's pretty cool. But at the same time, once again, it's fairly minimal. We don't really, we never mesh together. We see each other in the halls, but we never talk about like the injustices and the prejudices and just the inconveniences and difficulties we have, because I don't think it's something that we feel comfortable sharing with them and they feel comfortable sharing with us.
Have you ever, how has the model minority experience or myth, how's that impacted your life?
As an Asian Pacific Islander student, quite heavily, because I definitely see that there is an assumption that I should do better or excel much at a faster rate than my classmates do. And the truth is, I'm not that good of a student. At best, I'm an A-, actually B-plus student. And sometimes talking about U.S. history, because I'm Filipino, one teacher did bring up, do you have any inbred hatred for Americans because you are Filipino? And I think that's just something that's, you don't do that. But then at the same time, there's also the thought that, oh, you should have, why didn't you score high enough on the test? And then one would ask, I don't know, why did you expect me to score that high in the test? And somebody would say, not even a teacher, sometimes a student, oh, because you're Asian. And it's not something completely evident with the teachers, but sometimes you can just tell that students, your peers would look at you and expect more from you. And it's definitely discouraging for a student because you'd think that you're trying your best, but you're always expected to do your best. And sometimes you do expect that from your family members because they do expect you to do good. But when it comes from your peers and people who you expect to support you unconditionally, people who you, whenever you have family problems, you go to, they're the people who you expect to just be there like, hey, how are you? But they look at you and you can just see like disappointment, even though they don't really mean it, because it is something that I think they don't know how much of a burden it is for us to carry, but it is quite a burden.
How does that, I guess, having those expectations on you because you're Asian, how does that, I guess, a lot of times the model minority myth is used to make, like, especially African Americans feel bad. How does that impact you?
I think that it's insanely unfair. Because
what is insanely unfair?
The fact that a stereotype that is supposed to be good for the Asian community is used against another community. It's, in a way, pitting minorities against each other when we're trying to just help each other. I think the fact that people look at us so highly and think of us so greatly is, I mean, it's very discouraging sometimes, but it should never be used against another minority because they have their own struggles that can never be amounted. That some of the struggles that they have are ones that can't be equated to what we feel. And just because a few Asian Americans, many Asian Americans, are capable of reaching such great lengths and great heights doesn't mean that African Americans are not. And just because through statistics and through the system, African Americans are not capable of, they aren't seen as much as Asian Americans are, does not mean that they are not capable of succeeding and excelling. So yeah, I think it's very unfair that they would look at us and say that you should do good, and then they look at the African American community and say you should be like them because we have our own problems, and it's not fair to them and it's not fair to us.
How do you see the future as far as this relationship between African Americans and APIs? How do you see that developing in the future?
I think with what I'm seeing with students and younger generations, like how we're trying to fix it, I think that it's going pretty good. It's going in a direction where we're trying to solve it and you're trying to solve it, and we can just collectively try to solve it together. But if you were to ask me when I was still in the Philippines, when I didn't see this interaction, I don't think I would be able to say that it would get better. I do believe that there would be, in a way, some tension between the two communities because both are being pitted against each other. But from the way that I'm looking at everything through social media, through just interactions with my friends, it's definitely becoming much better. It's definitely becoming a way where we can support each other.
So you see hope.
I have an immense amount of hope that in the future, everything will get better. It's probably going to be like much harder to overcome some things, but I do believe that that all the communities, all the minorities have the capability to get together and just fight it one at a time, baby steps. But yes, I do believe immensely, and I think that there's great hope for it.
So you are 17.
Yes.
And you're, tell me a little bit, where you go to school and what you want to do when you graduate.
So I go to Wilson High School here in Portland. Currently I am battling between the engineering and medicine. However, I have found a way to intersect both of them and just take biomedical engineering when I get into college. So I intend to pursue electrical engineering and then go into med school because I think it's just something that I just love helping out the community. And I think that because my mother was a nurse and my father was an engineer, when I was younger, I said I would never do what they're doing. But now I look at them and say that this is what I want to do. And I think that it's just a great way for you to help out your community, especially through medicine, because I do come from a third world country. I grew up in a third world country. And I think that my family has had such struggles with just health. I think that this is my way of saying thank you to them. And this is my way of saying thank you to my country.
So you're not going to be an actor?
It's I do believe that acting is something that I would love to pursue. However, I think that I can reach greater lengths through through medicine, and I can help more people, and I can touch more hearts that way.
What is bioengineering?
Biomedical engineering is you study biology and medicine through and look at it through an engineering process. You look at it and see like how the technology that technology used in the field of medicine can be, in a way, articulated for you as an engineer to understand. Like, you can understand how the body works, and you can understand how machinery works and things that appliances work, but you can also just become a doctor, or you can also just focus on being an engineer. It's kind of a good intersection between engineering and medicine, because those are two different branches of science, but at the same time they're also fairly connected to each other.
What can you, to get back on this topic, I think that's awesome that you're doing that. Thank you. And I can't imagine myself, but how, what's your advice to, I guess, young people in looking, especially in how a lot of times there are a lot of conservative older generation, and they don't necessarily have good relations with African Americans. Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
I think one thing that I hold near and dear to my heart is, as much as I love my parents, I'm not my parents. I hold different values than they do. I look up to them. But at the same time, the world has changed so much. And my advice to even my younger self would be, don't let their closed-mindedness affect your open-mindedness. And I think just for older generations who are not, it's not that they're not willing to accept it. It's just that they are so just bounded in their ways that they find it hard to change. I think it's just being open to talk about these things can really, really help, because sometimes it takes just one conversation to change something. And I think just raising awareness and being open about it, just being willing to talk about it and being willing to understand it and just empathizing with it, I think that's really the first step to everything, because without empathy, you can't really understand how they're feeling. You can't take into account like what it's like to be in their shoes. And so empathy is just key to everything.
Was there a specific moment that you can recall with your parents, if you wanted to share just one moment in one conversation?
So one moment that I find fairly, it's also fairly recent, is my sister. She is married to an African-American man. My father was not into it. He would use slurs against him, never in front of her husband's face, but he would use slurs, and he would constantly demean her for marrying him. And I, as a very, very young person, because she got married like 10 years ago, I would look at her and say that I don't understand why dad is like this. He, as in her husband, loves you so much and you love him. And I don't understand why my father is just constantly beating you up for just this. And I think that is such a personal experience for me, that I look at it and say that this is not how I want to raise my kids. This is not how I want my kids' friends to be like. This is not the generation that I want to follow me. This is something that I want to be a part of and I want to change. So, that, yeah.
Has he changed?
He has stopped talking about it, but at the same time, you can tell that he's not happy about it. He has gotten to the point where he would just be silent about it and never say anything. But out of all instances, I've never been as disappointed as my father's that specific moment. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that. Yes. But you are so eloquent.
Thank you.
You really are. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for
any
having
me. Final thoughts or anything?
I just uphold the value of empathy. So I think that everyone, as hard as it can be, it is hard to take into account somebody else's experiences. But once you do, it's just amazing to just hear their stories and feel what they feel, because there's something just so humane about feeling someone and just like being there with them and just understanding how they are. So yeah, that's all.
Gives me hope. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Tell me if you give me permission to record you for broadcast, mm-hmm, and for the internet.
My name is Lexa Mashinsky, and I do give you permission for a broadcast and internet purposes.
So what has been your personal experience with Asians for Black Lives Matter?
I think because I am of the younger population, and I do see it throughout social media, I personally think I have quite a big understanding of what the Black Lives Matter, just the entirety of the movement is. And from my understanding is, sometimes because of the fact that we are really not outspoken about how we deal with injustices within the Asian Pacific Islander community, I don't think that we're really doing a lot. I just don't see it coming from someone who is Asian Pacific Islander, but coming from someone who is very young, who is a very young American, I see that I have a lot of power to just retweet and send things out. But that's all I see, and that's all I do.
What could AAPIs do better?
I think raising awareness on them, because we as a community have gone through injustices. Many of them never intersect with the black community, because sometimes there are just things that we have never had to overcome. But at the same time, we do have the empathy, and so I think that we just have to find the capacity to be aware of it, and we have to find ways to share it with each other. I do think that just being there as a support is something that we can definitely do, and I don't see enough of it.
Have you had any conversations with older members of your family about this?
I have. My father, he is a white American. I have had conversations with him, and he definitely just doesn't care about it as much. My stepmother, however, she is Filipino. She's full Filipino. She looks at it and says that it feels threatening for her, because she believes that because African Americans are a minority that has injustices faced towards them, that it also affects her as a minority too. But I people who have lived in the United States, who are also like people who I know, my stepmother, for example, she definitely feels like she feels it at a more personal level than my father, who is white, and he just doesn't see it as much.
How do African American and Asian American groups at your school, how do they get along?
With the only time I've seen us just coexist, because we do coexist, yes. The only time I've seen us like actually interact with each other is at my school. We have a thing called the culturally specific clubs. We get together during one lunchtime, and there I see people from Black Student Union, from GSA, and from the other culturally specific clubs meet with APISU. And the interactions that we have with each other are fairly minimal. But when you have those culturally specific clubs put together, you see the people who want to actually make a difference in their community and who are openly trying to do it. And I think that it's pretty cool. But at the same time, once again, it's fairly minimal. We never mesh together. We see each other in the halls, but we never talk about like the injustices and the prejudices and just the inconveniences and difficulties we have, because I don't think it's something that we feel comfortable sharing with them and they feel comfortable sharing with us.
Have you ever, how has the model minority experience or myth, how's that impacted your life?
As an Asian Pacific Islander student, quite heavily, because I definitely see that there is an assumption that I should do better or excel much at a faster rate than my classmates do. And the truth is, I'm not that good of a student. At best, I'm an A-, actually B+ student. And sometimes talking about U.S. history, because I'm Filipino, one teacher did bring up, do you have any inbred hatred for Americans because you are Filipino? And I think that's just something that's, you don't do that. But then at the same time, there's also the thought that, oh, you should have, why didn't you score high enough on the test? And then one would ask, I don't know, why did you expect me to score that high on the test? And somebody would say, not even a teacher, sometimes a student, oh, because you're Asian. And it's not something completely evident with the teachers, but sometimes you can just tell that students, your peers, would look at you and expect more from you. And it's definitely discouraging for a student, because you'd think that you're trying your best, but you're always expected to do your best. And sometimes you do expect that from your family members, because they do expect you to do good. But when it comes from your peers and people who you expect to support you unconditionally, people who you, whenever you have family problems, you go to, they're the people who you expect to just be there like, hey, how are you? But they look at you and you can just see like disappointment, even though they don't really mean it. Because it is something that I think they don't know how much of a burden it is for us to carry, but it is quite a burden.
How does that, I guess, having those expectations on you because you're Asian, how does that, I guess, a lot of times the model minority myth is used to make, like, especially African Americans feel bad. How does that impact you?
I think that it's insanely unfair. Because
what is insanely unfair?
The fact that our a stereotype that is supposed to be good for the Asian community is used against another community. It's, in a way, pitting minorities against each other when we're trying to just help each other. I think the fact that people look at us so highly and think of us so greatly is, I mean, it's very discouraging sometimes, but it should never be used against another minority because they have their own struggles that can never be amounted. That some of the struggles that they have are ones that can't be equated to what we feel. And just because a few Asian Americans, many Asian Americans, are capable of reaching such great lengths and great heights doesn't mean that African Americans are not. And just because through statistics and through the system, African Americans are not capable of, they aren't seen as much as Asian Americans are, does not mean that they are not capable of succeeding and excelling. So yeah, I think it's very unfair that they would look at us and say that you should do good, and then they look at the African American community and say you should be like them because we have our own problems, and it's not fair to them and it's not fair to us.
How do you see the future as far as this relationship between African Americans and APIs? How do you see that developing in the future?
I think with what I'm seeing with students and younger generations, like how we're trying to fix it, I think that it's going pretty good. It's going in a direction where we're trying to solve it and you're trying to solve it, and we can just collectively try to solve it together. But if you were to ask me when I was still in the Philippines, when I didn't see this interaction, I don't think I would be able to say that it would get better. I do believe that there would be, in a way, some tension between the two communities because both are being pitted against each other. But from the way that I'm looking at everything through social media, through just interactions with my friends, it's definitely becoming much better. It's definitely becoming a way where we can support each other.
So you see hope.
I have an immense amount of hope that in the future, everything will get better. It's probably going to be like much harder to overcome some things, but I do believe that that all the communities, all the minorities have the capability to get together and just fight it one at a time, baby steps. But yes, I do believe immensely, and I think that there's great hope for it.
So you are 17.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit, I guess, where you go to school and what you want to do when you graduate.
So I go to Wilson High School here in Portland. Currently, I am battling between the engineering and medicine. However, I have found a way to intersect both of them and just take biomedical engineering when I get into college. So I intend to pursue electrical engineering and then go into med school because I think it's just something that I just love helping out the community. And I think that because my mother was a nurse and my father was an engineer, when I was younger, I said I would never do what they're doing. But now I look at them and say that this is what I want to do. And I think that it's just a great way for you to help out your community, especially through medicine, because I do come from a third world country. I grew up in a third world country. And I think that my family has had such struggles with just health. I think that this is my way of saying thank you to them. And this is my way of saying thank you to my country.
So, yeah. So you're not going to be an actor?
It's I do believe that acting is something that I would love to pursue. However, I think that I can reach greater lengths through medicine, and I can help more people, and I can touch more hearts that way.
What is bioengineering?
Biomedical engineering is you study biology and medicine through and look at it through an engineering process. You look at it and see like how the technology that technology used in the field of medicine can be, in a way, articulated for you as an engineer to understand. Like, you can understand how the body works, and you can understand how machinery works and things that and appliances work. But you can also just become a doctor, or you can also just focus on being an engineer. It's kind of a good intersection between engineering and medicine, because those are two different branches of science, but at the same time, they're also fairly connected to each other.
What can you, to get back on this topic, I think that's awesome that you're doing that, and I can't imagine myself, but how, what's your advice to, I guess, young people in looking, especially in how a lot of times there are a lot of conservative older generation, and they don't necessarily have good relations with African Americans. Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
I think one thing that I hold near and dear to my heart is, as much as I love my parents, I'm not my parents. I hold different values than they do. I look up to them. But at the same time, the world has changed so much. And my advice to even my younger self would be, don't let their closed-mindedness affect your open-mindedness. And I think just for older generations who are not, it's not that they're not willing to accept it. It's just that they are so just bounded in their ways that they find it hard to change. I think it's just being open to talk about these things can really, really help, because sometimes it takes just one conversation to change something. And I think just raising awareness and being open about it, just being willing to talk about it and being willing to understand it and just empathizing with it, I think that's really the first step to everything, because without empathy, you can't really understand how they're feeling. You can't take into account like what it's like to be in their shoes. And so empathy is just key to everything.
Was there a specific moment that you can recall with your parents, if you wanted to share just one moment in one conversation?
So one moment that I find fairly, it's also fairly recent, is my sister. She is married to an African-American man. My father was not into it. He would use slurs against him, never in front of her husband's face, but he would use slurs, and he would constantly demean her for marrying him. And I, as a very, very young person, because she got married like 10 years ago, I would look at her and say that I don't understand why dad is like this. He, as in her husband, loves you so much and you love him. And I don't understand why my father is just constantly beating you up for just this. And I think that is such a personal experience for me, that I look at it and say that this is not how I want to raise my kids. This is not how I want my kids' friends to be like. This is not the generation that I want to follow me. This is something that I want to be a part of and I want to change. So, that, yeah.
Has he changed?
He has stopped talking about it, but at the same time, you can tell that he's not happy about it. He has gotten to the point where he would just be silent about it and never say anything. But out of all instances, I've never been as disappointed as my father's that specific moment. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that. But you are so eloquent.
Thank you.
You really are. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for
any
helping.
Final thoughts or anything?
I just uphold the value of empathy. So I think that everyone, as hard as it can be, it is hard to take into account somebody else's experiences. But once you do, it's just amazing to just hear their stories and feel what they feel, because there's something just so humane about feeling someone and just like being there with them and just understanding how they are. So yeah, that's all.
Gives me hope. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. So I'm Dee Mae Roberts. I'm going to ask you a question. Do I have your permission to broadcast and on public radio and on the internet in your interview today? Say your name, and if you agree, say you have my permission.
I'm Isaac Simpson, and yes, you have my permission.
My name is Anna Keen, and yes, you have my permission.
My name is Kirsten Smiley, and yes, you have my permission.
My name is Kavi Keen, and of course, you have my permission.
So, speaking from your perspective, you're all going to high school. What is the relationship between African Americans and Asian Americans in your school?
I guess I could start. Going to Wilson High School is difficult because the demographic that is around the neighborhood is predominantly white, and just the people you live around. So what happens is the student unions, of course, the Black Student Union, API Student Union, in the recent years have come together as sort of a minority group. And so what happens is, just because there's not a lot of people of color in the school, we'll come together to form just like dual student unions. We'll come together, talk about shared experiences, and definitely just share and help each other and explain different situations that we've had throughout just each semester, going to different classes and going to school, it's interesting because you get different families of immigrants or adoptees or really everything. And I'm glad that, like, the student unions have come out in the recent years.
So would you say the relationship between African-Americans and AAPIs are pretty good?
Oh, yeah, for the most part. I guess at our school, I can't speak for others, but it's really about coming together as a minority.
How do you feel?
Going back of what Isaac said, a Black Student Union was one of the first culturally specific clubs that, you know, started at Wilson. And they have been, like, the model for the rest of the culturally specific clubs who just recently started. So because of them, like, they have supported us in both starting up the clubs and getting people, like, rounded up to come to our clubs. And recently we just started the Student Equity Team Advisory Board. And with that, like, they've come together as a whole. And I really think that the relationship between the Black Student Union and the Asian Pacific Student Union and just anyone in general in that culture-specific group is, you know, really close to each other.
So they helped you form
yes.
your...
Yes.
Okay.
I had one thing to say. I think it really was important that we came together because when the school as a whole looks at the groups, they see, okay, the Black Student Union, of course, they're going to be a minority against the white population. But when you look at the API club, we always get comments that, like, why do the Asians need their own club? And we don't really get looked at as a minority, but it's like, yes, we do have our own culture, and it's really helpful to have the Black Student Union sort of say, like, yes, we all have different experiences, and the Asians, like, it's important to have our own cultural group at Wilson, so.
Do you have any thoughts for anything so far?
My thoughts have been said already.
I'm not going to high school.
Oh, that's true. We're, I guess, in your immediate circles, do you find that there's support for Asians for Black Lives Matter?
I don't think there's enough or any exists. I don't think people recognize that there's this group here that they have their, like, they have their voice, like, they want to say about their concern and their life is, like, they don't get enough attention. Like, my immediate circle is really surrounded by a lot of white people, my colleagues, like, are completely white, and they just don't understand we have this struggle. They don't understand I'm in the room, but I feel like I'm not part of them. They don't understand that, and I think there's not enough, like, things to be said about it. Like, I think after today, I was trying to say more about it, like, how I'm just standing out, I'm different, and I have a group of people that same as me, that we're just different. We want, like, some attention.
Well, no, it's all right. Do you feel that, do you ever have conversations with either your family members or, you know, your friends about supporting Asians for Black Lives Matter?
I mean, recently with all the police brutality, the conversation has come up a lot in saying, like, why does this happen? Why do people hate each other because of their race? And I think my parents and my family in general are really, like, is just, like, we're questioning, like, why does it exist? And we're trying to do anything we can to, like, support, like, whatever we do. Because we do live in Northeast Portland, which has more diversity than Southwest Portland, which is where Wilson High School is located. So we do see, like, more diversity whenever we go and just giving our support. And that's what...
So you had difficult conversations with anybody about, you know, supporting Black Lives Matter? Anybody?
I think at the high school level, I can speak that what opinions that the kids have that go to school, you can really see it derives from their parents. So if you try to have a conversation like that, that's probably what the environment's like at their household. So going to school in Southwest Portland, you're going to get a lot of a sort of enclosed, narrow-minded perspective, which is interesting because we'll have family talks and dinners. And my mother and her siblings, they immigrated from the Philippines. So they're going to have, you know, worldly views. And then on the other side of my family, I have my father, who he grew up in Boring, Oregon. And then he'll have parents and they'll be like so closed-minded. And even like with the upcoming elections, they'll be like Trump, like they'll come up and then that will like split and there'll be a family discussion. And you have to explain to people who haven't had those worldly experiences that like immigration, even just not with Asians, but anybody, it really does. It's important to have that sort of mix. And it's just difficult for people to understand that sometimes, like, your family, your closest family is immigrated, but they could be so ignorant to say, like, oh, that's, it's different like that. Like, oh, you married my son, so it's different than.
Can you think of one difficult conversation where you had trying to explain Black Lives Matter?
Oh, of course. So I think just another family get together, and I had to explain, really it was the API Club to my father's parents. And so they grew up in Boring, Oregon. So when I said, oh, I have an API conference to go to, they were like, oh, so what's that? And I said, okay, so it's Asian Pacific Islander. Like, oh, do you guys watch movies? And I'm like, yeah, we watch movies and talk about cultural differences and stuff. And they're like, oh, that's interesting, because obviously they've never had experiences like that. So I think they were understanding that I'm their grandson. But if they had anybody else talking to them, I think there is a barrier of personability. So like, you'll talk to somebody, and if you're not closely related or have a relation to them, you can't take what they say seriously, or like, you can't interpret it the same way. So I think it is important for people that have the sort of that closed-minded, and they don't have like connections to people of color or other races. It's you have to be patient with them, I guess. So.
Well, it's almost noon, so I don't know, unless somebody has a pressing comment they want to make on that.
I would just like to say that in school in general, like, I don't think we have enough education or enough conversations about race and, like, the situation. Like, and I've never, like, in my classes talked about Black Lives Matter, even though it's, like, a current event and, you know, these are real-world situations that is happening. And I just think that the school and, like, people in general needs to open up and have these conversations about race and what is going on in, you know, our world in general.
I will say one thing with the topics about race in public schools. I don't think it comes up enough just because it is so controversial. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the school board or the teachers are willing to bring that up in a classroom just because it really does hit home for some people. And really, I'm not sure if it's just liability or kids and how they'll react. I mean, we're all so young, they don't want to bring up a controversial topic like that. So there's that barrier that I don't know how you're going to get around it, but it really is just something that's in the way of teaching and spreading people's knowledge.
And that's why you need the clubs, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
A safe space.
Because you can say anything you want.
Right, right.
And no, that's what we try to press at our club too, is mm-hmm. a safe space.
Yeah.